April 14, 2023. It's a Watt for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show. Happy Friday. Started off John Coltrane with Miles Davis doing Little Maloney. And then we had Balk. At least we tried because of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. I got with me, yeah, the main Balkster, I guess. Reed, yeah. Taylor, welcome aboard, Brother Reed.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolute, absolute. And, yeah, so I got some stuff in the hoot line and played it, and here we are. So please, yeah, bring me your earliest musical recollection, please, because we want to learn about your journey through music.
Okay, great. So I started my earliest recollection of music. I'm not really sure, but my parents had a piano in the house, and my dad played a little bit of piano, and I took some piano lessons when I was pretty young. I didn't really stick with it. I didn't really have a big love for it, but
it was your earliest memory.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, yeah. So at least it did that job. Look, Brother Reed, you don't know how many cats have been on this show, and they almost got chased away from music because of the piano lesson experience.
Right.
I think it ain't the idea of the lessons or the piano. I think it has to do with the teacher.
Right. Well, I actually didn't mind the piano lessons. I mean, piano is a really hard instrument, you know. I mean, all instruments are hard, but like,
good point. You know,
but piano, you know, has its own set, you know, every instrument has its own set of challenges, and piano, you know, as well. So, you know, as a kid, you know, it's, I didn't dislike the piano or the piano teacher. It was just a little bit, you know, not as maybe fun as, you know, whatever.
But think about it. They got one button for every note. That kind of makes it kind of unique. Everybody else, we got to get our notes up out of a few sources, but they got a fucking button for each note. Let me ask you this. Yeah. What about in school? Were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
Around middle school, I play trumpet, and I auditioned for the trumpet section, and my band teacher put me down on the third trumpet, of course, and you know, I didn't know. She said, you know, I let you have a good tone, but I hear you, you know, kind of down on the lower end, and I didn't really know what I just kind of thought that meant I wasn't very good, but I think she honestly, she was a trombone player.
Ah, bass clef.
So I think she heard, maybe had some like kind of, foreshadowing of me becoming a bass player.
Yeah, cause the bone, right? Bone's bass clef. Yeah. Big mouthpiece, so, too. I from my friends, they told me it's easier to march with than a trumpet.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
First record you bought with your own money, please.
It's kind of hard, but I would probably have to say, like, either Def Leppard, Pyromania, or maybe Minute Work, you know, Business as Usual, something like that, you know, some kind of 80s.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
First gig you saw?
First gig I saw, I would say I saw Camper Van Beethoven was the first gig I saw. My parents wouldn't really let me go to any gigs, but in 10th grade, I guess, I saw Camper Van. I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida.
Navy town.
Yeah. I heard your show the other day, and there was some other guy that was from there, kind of crazy.
Right,
but
right.
I saw them at Einstein's.
A go-go.
Yeah.
So, oh, shit, I played there a few times.
I saw you there when I was in 10th grade as well.
Okay,
yeah.
Because, Grandpa or Pops or somebody there would make you fried chicken. I remember playing. It's right on the beach there. It wasn't my first Jacksonville Beach gig. Minutemen actually played a pad called the Blighted Zone.
Oh, okay.
And that was a freaky fucking scene. I'll tell you. So let me ask you this. You're talking about you got on the bass. How'd that happen?
Well, kind of a long story, but I took guitar lessons after piano lessons, and I kind of learned, you know, how to play a little bit of guitar, and but the teacher that I had on guitar, he taught all the instruments and was proficient in all of them, and his whole deal was that if you went through this system that he had and could learn and could play, like, he picked out 10 songs. If you could play those songs and went through them, then you could pick out any song you wanted and he would teach you it. So I got through all that and was like, started taking him songs to learn how to play. And basically I could tell that some of the songs he had never heard before, but he played them by ear, like kind of right on the spot.
Yeah.
And, eventually, a little bit later on, I never took bass lessons, but I started kind of just, you know, I picked up the idea of learning songs by ear, you know, from him, and I took that to the bass, and I started playing bass, and I played bass in a band my brother and his friends were in, and then my neighbor across the street, we both got into the Minutemen at the same time, and I learned a bunch of I learned the cut. You know, the Minutemen song Cut, and
yeah, I wrote that.
Of course, yeah, and
not of course. Steve Boone and Georgie wrote songs too.
Yeah, he played drums, so I just kind of, you know, once I heard double nickels and all that stuff, I got really into the bass, and that's kind of where I've been since then. You know.
Well, can I ask you, what was your first bass?
I had some kind of like a Guild. I don't even know the model. I think it was supposedly a pretty decent bass at the time.
And what about an amp?
Probably just one of those PV, smaller PV kind of things.
Like,
you know,
115?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Okay, and your buddy, what was his name? Who's the drummy?
This guy, Steve Bearcat, lived across the street from me, and he was a drummer. And a really great drummer, and we just jammed.
What did you guys? Did you give this group a name, or was it just a jam band?
That was kind of a jam band. We had a band when we were younger that was called the Malefactors. That was just like kind of us messing around as kids, you know.
Yeah.
And then
what kind of material? Were you writing your own, or was it covers?
That was just like kind of a joke band. We had a couple of originals, but this was when we were in like third or fourth grade, so, you know.
Oh,
it was...
shit. That's young.
You
weren't on bass yet, right? You were working the guitar?
Yeah, back then, yeah. But,
okay. What about when you and Steve get together later? Do you start composing your own stuff?
Not really. You know, we just played a bunch of covers, and then, you know, he went on to be in a band where he wrote his own music, and we kind of went our separate ways at some point. Around that time, I started playing upright bass and getting into jazz and kind of going down that road.
Whoa, an upright bass. What was your first upright bass? Was it plywood, like a K or something?
The first bass was, I rented a bass for about 3 months, just to make sure that I was, you know, that I was, you know, I rented it just so I, you know, to see if I was into it, you know, and then I ended up buying this Hungarian bass that was kind of like a K bass, very similar.
You know, the K's, those plywood K's, they were real popular with rockabilly guys.
Right, right. Well, they're great basses, you know.
Yeah, they're real strong, right? They could walk up the side of them and shit.
Yeah. Well, they got a lot of punch, you know.
Yeah.
They really project and get a lot of sound out, you know.
Yeah.
So, just without, you know, so that's kind of, they're, you know, a lot of the great bass players played on K's, you know, which are, you know, considerably on the cheaper end as far as basses can go. And that, you know,
I remember Charlie Hayden jam with Minuteman, and he had a 200-year-old French. I can imagine the chinquando that motherfucker was. But he could really work it, man. Look, you gave me this music here, Steve Powers from Balk. I want to play it, okay?
Yeah, okay. Great, thanks.
he does all day. That's what man he does all day.
Pedro showed that Chuck a music star album Bach doing Steve Powers. I think Steve Powers was a cat from television, right?
I doubt Steve Powers. I don't know about him from television. That was a friend of mine that I played.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought it was a character. It's not even a real person.
I mean, he was a kid. He is wherever he is. He is a character.
He is a character.
One, yeah.
Okay. Angry Silence after that with Brother Jeb Lloyd Nichols. Was a man do all day? Jan Bart Lou out of Netherlands with Edinburgh Snow, Dame Area, Tempio Senza Luce. 19 minutes 40 seconds with Plantasia, Andre Vita out of Berlin with 0618, Shit in the Midnight Mexican Highway. They're out of Japan, people. Want is the song, and then Balk finally with No One Cares. So the stand-up. Now, what'd you do? Well, of course, you started learning on it, but did you get in a band with the stand-up right away?
What happened was the reason I got into that, you know, my brother got me kind of into jazz, but I was living in the D.C. area at the time, and I went to this jazz club. And I walked in, and I went to this this place called the One Step Down that's not around anymore, but it was a great little tiny jazz club. And kind of like, I don't know, between, not in Georgetown, but kind of close to that. And I walked in and saw this show with this piano player, Larry Willis, who is like a big, great piano player, and this bass player. And I just was blown away by it. And I talked to the bass player afterwards. I was like, oh, I want to try and learn how to play bass. How do I do this? And he said, well, I'll help you, find a bass to rent, you know, and you can take lessons with me. And, so I took some lessons with him. And, maybe after like 4 or 5 months, he said, oh, you can, If you stick with this, you can get pretty good. And, you know, are you going to jam sessions? And so I started going to jam sessions, and then, you know, I started playing more and getting, you know, it was just a mind blow for me because I could barely play at all, but I was getting called for gigs, you know, like not too long after starting to play. And, you know, getting called to play gigs and actually getting paid a little bit of money. So I was like, wow, you know, this is crazy.
And it all came from seeing a cat at a gig and talking to him after. That's right. Fucking bitching. I love that. That seems so, like, non-jive and authentic, you know?
Right. Well, the guy, the bass player, you know, he's a bit, he played with Rashawn Roland Kurt,
sure,
and
Milt sure.
Jackson, all these great guys, and he's still alive. He's 83 now. So I it's like, I've been lucky. I've met a bunch of great people, great musicians. I'm very fortunate I'd like to complain a lot, but, I have been fortunate to meet a lot of great musicians who I'm still friends with to this day.
Something tells me in the second hour here, I'm going to play something from the Ned Gold Trio. This is probably that stuff, huh?
That's actually much later. That's like fairly recently. That's like maybe 2 or 3 years ago. That's Ned Gold is, somebody I've played with for maybe the past 15 years. Him and he plays, tenor saxophone, and his son plays drums, Charles Gould. And I played trio with him for, I'd say at least, around 15 years or so. Yeah.
Okay. Then tell me, how does Balk come around?
Well, everything's kind of tied together somehow weirdly in my world. So, I got really into the jazz thing, and with the upright bass and all of that, it takes, it's not like, for the faint of heart, you know, it takes a lot of dedication and
kicked my ass, you know, in the 90s I tried. I ended up making a 45 for Kill Rock Stars, but man, was it tough. I kept wanting to go sideways.
Playing jazz, you know, you got to learn like, you know, 506, you know, you got to know all these songs and be able to do all kinds of, you really have to, it requires a lot of study and work to be even kind of halfway decent. So, periodically I've gotten kind of burned out. I don't like doing the same thing all the time. And, I got an acoustic guitar at some point, like around 2009. And I started writing. I wasn't like set out to like write songs or anything, but I ended up writing some songs, and I wasn't really planning on doing anything with them, but my friend, guitarist Aaron Dugan, who I've played in with a bunch of bands with the Salty Balls thing that I know that you played some before.
No, I played a bunch of that shit. I got it, you know, mysteriously in the mail. I didn't know what the fuck was about, but I liked it.
Yeah. So he was going somewhere to playing in some festival, and he was on a plane, and he met Jason Lowenstein from Sebado.
Sure, bass man.
Yeah, and when he got back, he ended up talking with him and kind of becoming friends with him, and at this time I was living in Brooklyn, and my friend Aaron was like, oh, you should get in touch with Jason and try and play your songs with him, kind of thing. And I talked to Jason, and, you know, Jason's just the coolest guy out there. You know, he's just a really nice guy.
Absolutely.
And he recorded my songs with me and him. He played drums and I played bass, in my apartment, and he recorded it, and I did most of the overdubs, and then my friend Aaron played some guitar, and that was kind of the first album. And then we kind of used that formula for the first couple of albums. And that was a lot of fun. And we played some gigs in the New York City area for a while. Balk was just something. It started out as just something. It's never been something that, like, oh, I'm trying to do this band kind of thing, you know. I just wrote some songs, and then gradually a bunch of my friends, wanted to be involved and help me play the songs live. So my friend Brian Marcella has always been involved with it. He's a piano player. He's kind of more in the, John Zorn kind of world. He's on, Nels Klein's,
Nels he's Klein, an old buddy of mine.
His last, that Blue Note album.
Sure.
He did Nels Klein from a couple of years ago.
Well, Nels Klein's a Blue Note artist now. And I think, you know, the head of A&R there is Ravi Coltrane.
Oh, okay.
Can I ask you this? What was the first Balk song you wrote?
The first Balk song I wrote, let me see. I think it was called Another Season Gone, and it's on this first album.
So you didn't give it to me. Because the sense I get from what you're telling me there, Brother Reed,
yeah,
Balk, it kind of goes song by song. It's not like you say, you got a core thing going with the piano player here, but different guests like kind of determine where the music's going to go?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I've kind of had the same people, you know, the same group of friends playing on it. Jason Lowenstein, he played on the first three things, and then he was busy with Sebado. And so the last two albums, my friend Nick Collins from Ann Arbor has played drums and been kind of heavily involved on the last couple of albums. So it's kind of just like, you know, there's really no set band, but there kind of is at the same time.
Well,
kind of thing.
You're involved. You're the center of that universe.
Right.
I'm going to have to hit the pause button because we reached the end of the first hour, the April 14, 2023 edition of Wapito Show. Special guest, Brother Reed Taylor. Hold tight for hour two. April 14, 2023, second hour, Wat for Pedro Show.
Say, Ray Brown, the Billy Bat sound.
Watt for Pedro show start off the second hour with Balk doing bass player song. Love it. Bondo after that with Low Tech, Death Tape Super Bass. Yeah. Get it? Low Tech. That means Bajo, right? Anyway, Death Tape Super Bass from Chicago with High Flight, even though it's Low Tech. Okay. Abshaku, The Ecstatic Truth for Werner Herzog. Bajan Boy. This is Brother AJ out of the Netherlands. And then finally, Brother Reed was just talking about Senior Salty Balls with Just Cause. Just Cause. You're playing bass on this?
Yeah.
And what was a lot of that stuff improvised?
A lot of it was, yeah.
That was my sense. But I know you guys were having a good time, but I always dug it.
Yeah. It was just kind of, we had a lot of fun doing it. It was just kind of one of those things for fun. The guy that plays drums on that is one of these guys that started out as a metal drummer, and then he became a bass player, and he's a great bass player. Jason Fraticelli, out of Philadelphia, he's one of these guys that can play bass amazingly and drums as well. So power to him there.
If I was like the school czar, you couldn't graduate without being a drummer. Because I think you can play anything good if you can play drums.
Right.
It's all rhythm, right?
That's true.
Yeah, and they're the only ones not in denial. Biggest mistake Minutemen made was putting George Hurley in the back. You know, last 20 years, I've always had my drummers downstage, right at the lip.
Right,
so
right.
Tell me about this bass player song.
The bass player song, I don't really know what to say about it. It's just kind of a lot of my biggest bass player influences there, all from the jazz world. I play this to different people, hear this song, and they're saying, "Oh, how can't Ming? You know, why is it Mingus in this song?" And you forgot Charlie Hayden, and, you know, but that's just like, you know, so I, at some point I'm going to have to do a bass player two, you know, version two,
Here's a trip about Mr. Mingus. He never composed on the bass. He always composed on piano. What about you? What do you compose on there, Brother Reed?
I guess for Balk, it's usually acoustic guitar, and maybe every once in a while, every once in a blue moon, a song will be come up with on the keyboard, you know. But and some songs start off with a bass riff, you know, and are just kind of built around that, you know, like that song, No One Cares, I guess, if you played that's kind of a bass riff, you know, a couple of different bass riffs turned into a song, you know.
Now, I asked this because I was asked by Bass Player Magazine, the future bass. Of course, I was going to say 8, 10, 12, 15, 28 strings. And I said, no, maybe not. Maybe the future bass is using it as a composition tool.
That's really great. Really great point. Yeah.
Because like you just said there, some bass lines. The same thing happened when I did this proj Nick Reinhardt was part of, called Big Walnuts Yonder, Nels Klein also, and Greg Sarnier. Mm-hmm. And when he was doing an interview with this thing, because I wrote 8 songs for the proj, he wouldn't call them songs. He called them bass lines. And,
right.
You know, just like Chico, it reminded me reading about Chico Hamilton not being able to get songwriting credits for drums. It's like somehow bass players and drummers don't write music. They just kind of travel along with musicians because there's some kind of jive, phony, fake thing. And I just don't buy that.
Right. Well, I mean, you look at Charlie Hayden wrote a bunch of amazing songs, you know, music and... there's so many great, obviously Mingus and,
yeah, but he wrote on the piano. You know what Charlie Hayden told me once? He said in the 60s, he was looking for work. So he decided to buy a Fender P, an electric bass, right? Like mm-hmm. My union card used to say Fender bass. That's what they called an electric bass. He said just to write jingles so he could get work up. But he was, yeah, it's a trip. Look, you gave me this, modulators song called C Sharp. Let's listen.
Lots of people you can't help. Maybe you oughta not have notice what you wish for, it's an easy road to hoe. Life's a reason and you fly. Character's fate on a soggy paper plate. I think I smell a rat. Probably me, imagine that.
We'll be right back.
Watt for Pedro show. Got to mute that. Why? Okay, that took music start off. Modulator, C sharp. Maybe Yada Nada, demo from Dan Jones and the Squids. Adam Trumbo, backstage. Hucklebucker from Hubert Selby Jr. Infants out of Dublin, Ireland. Kato Hideki, Savage, and finally Ned Gould Trio, we were talking about earlier. The Flows. Yeah. So C sharp, hip us to the modulators.
So the Modulators is a band. It's the piano player I was telling you about, Brian Marcella, the guy that that plays with Nels some and is kind of in the John Zorn world. He's a very prolific composer. He has all kinds of different bands and projects. And this is the Modulators is music that he wrote, kind of inspired by Twin Peaks and that host that he was really into the Twin Peaks show and David Lynch and all of that. So this is it's kind of has this like surf fry. I don't know. It brings together a lot of different stuff. And the drummer is Kenny Grahalski, who's a great drummer. That's kind of in the he's in a bunch of different metal bands and improv bands. But yeah, this is all Brian Marcella's music, and he asked me to play bass in this band, and that's one of the songs on the album.
Oh, bitchin'. Yeah, I think David Lynch does some music on his own, like playing synthesizer. I know his son does, too.
Right.
Alex Hungtai from Dirty Beaches told me he was jamming with him and stuff. So, yeah, really interesting. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, April 14th, 2023 edition. Watt Pedro Show special guest, Reed Taylor. Hold tight for hour three. April 14th, 2023. It's the third hour, Watt for Pedro Show.
Thank you. forever throw in the towel. That'd be worse than a flagrant foul. Gotta go deep down into the bowels, like my man Boyd Powell. Sweetest girls in the world, sweeter than beautiful pearls, sweeter than anything I know. Never easy when it's time to go.
left their legacy to be undone. The Joker's yet to come. It's just the fact. We'll be right back.
Watt for Pedro show start off the third hour. Balk doing Albatross. Just wrapping up. About to read about Jaw Wobble. Got to see him with Public Image. Great bass man. A lot of low end. Kind of really influenced by the reggae guy. Family Man, right? Mm-hmm. Barrett, yeah. I got to see Family Man Barrett once with Bob Marley. Incredible bass man. Samuel Locke Ward after that with That Iowa Sky. And he's out of Iowa City. Makes sense, right? Libraries on Fire. Supernatural Disasters. And then finally, Balk with Winter Version. So, do you make demos for Balk? Or do you just strum chords for your buddies?
I usually make some kind of really rough, crude demo before getting, before I try and play it with other people. I can't really play drums all that well, but I'm really into drum. I'm very kind of specific sometimes about drums because I hear stuff coming from bass, from drums and bass a lot. A lot of times I'll make these crude demos where I'll play drums, and do like a bass and a guitar just so there's an idea of it, of what I'm kind of shooting for, even though if I can't play it, technically all that great.
If you think about it, closest note to us on stage is the kick drum.
Right, right.
And I remember I had a few months ago gone like the AM radio station here that does the Dodgers, and this guy, what are you trying to do with the bass? So I'm thinking, man, how can I relate this to so they'd understand, So I said, that kick drum? He said, yeah. I said, I'm trying to get the bass to dance with it.
That's a great thing to say.
Because
that's a great way to think about it.
To keep it loose so it ain't like we're such a cliche or some kind of,
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, because it's, right? Every tune calls for its own bass part. It's not like there's a generic bass part, right? There's many ways you can do it. That's one thing I learned early on the bass. So many ways. But the way you approach it, that's going to have a big say in how the song is going to get fucking delivered.
Yeah. I mean, that's why the Minutemen were so inspiring in a lot of ways, just because of that. I mean, so many other things.
Okay. Let's talk about them. D Boom showed me this song called The Product. And he was going through these chords, and I thought, D Boom, what if I don't fucking follow the chords and just stay in the one root? And you can, like, dance around that. So I just played one part.
Yeah. Well, the bass lines and all the way you guys interacted, it was always, it was different. It was always creative and original. But you can hear, so much in that, I still hear so much in that music. So, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I could have followed those chords, and that would have gave it a whole different feel in a way. I don't know if you remember this song, The Product. It's on Buzzer Howl,
yeah,
and it's got...
I know The Product very well, yeah.
Trumpet solo by Crane.
Exactly, yeah.
First time we ever tried that. And then and D-Boom loved that so much, like all the songs of Project Mersch have trumpet.
Yeah.
Shows well, that, to go you, you know? And we never knew anybody who played trumpet when we were kids. But, your life goes on. You develop. You meet new people. I think this sounds like your journey through music.
Yeah, well, there's my friend Dan Blankenship plays trumpet. He always plays live at the gigs if he's available. And he's played on a bunch of the albums and stuff. And, it's funny because if you hear trumpet now – people, if they hear trumpet in any kind of setting, there's the band Bell and Sebastian. They have a trumpet player, British band, who are great. I love them and whatever. But if anytime a trumpet's in a band now, it's like, oh, they sound like Bell and Sebastian because there's a trumpet in the band. Well, I always, my first, was the Minutemen hearing trumpet. Oh, you can have a trumpet in the band. That's fine, you know. There aren't any rules in it. You know, it's not like the trumpets like can't be in a band that, you know, you would think, you know, in a whatever punk, whatever you want to call it, a punk rock band, you know. So yeah, I always thought it was like a great, you know, there aren't any rules in this, you know, with you guys having the trumpet on that stuff, you know.
No, you know, it was just a trip. You don't know until you know. Hey, you gave me this tune here. Real long story.
Yeah.
Watch for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. That chunk started off with Balk doing Real Long Story. Then we had Suzu Eri. This is a Woman Alone solo act, but I think in collaboration. I don't know exactly, but it's a very interesting piece. Fata Morgana, track 1 of 2. Finally, Balk with Feather in Your Cap. Brother Reed, what's next for Balk?
We have a couple of gigs coming up. It's very rare that I haven't really played gigs in quite a long time. I think maybe 2017 was the last gig. But I'm trying to do at least a few gigs in support of this, you know. But now, you know, Balk has expanded to now, right now, if there's like a live, I mean, we don't have to do it this big, but if everybody can make it, it's 9 people in the band. So I guess we can do a gig with as few as 4 or 5, I guess. But, ideally we have if everybody's on board, it's like it's a whole like kind of happening thing. But, we're playing, May 18th at Pete's Candy Store in Brooklyn. And, June 27th at the Rockwood Music Hall in, New York City, on East Allen Street, right off, Houston. And,
Manhattan, right.
And hopefully try and get some other gigs.
Well, you know, besides gigs, what about composing and recording with Balk?
Well, I'm already starting to think about that, and hoping, to do something, as soon as possible, you know. But there is this label in Greenpoint, heard some of my music somewhere, and they invited me to do this, thing that they have where you record live and they cut it straight to vinyl. So we're doing that on June 28th. We're going to do, I think, maybe 7 or 8 songs. So I'm going to have to get in the woodshed for that and try and learn how to play these songs and make them sound good enough to be able to do them kind of live, you know.
Now, these are songs that you ain't recorded yet.
Oh, no. These are just...
So they're going to be other versions. They're going to be newer versions. Okay.
It's just going to be like kind of more of a live version. You know, the past 2 albums, you know, the album before this was kind of like done at the beginning of COVID. So I haven't done any of those songs live. I have 2 albums worth of songs that I haven't done live. So I'm just trying to figure out that. But I'm planning on recording just brand new material. I'm working on some new songs and hopefully later this year start thinking about recording them.
And where can people find out more about you and your music on the internet?
There's a website that, is pretty brand new, just kind of working the kinks out. It's, balkmusic.com.
People, BALKMUSIC.com.
Yep, there's that. And then there's, Bandcamp.
Yeah, corporate thing.
Bandcamp.
You probably got links at your site to that site, those sites, right?
Exactly, yeah, right.
Well, let me put out an invite to you. When you get this new stuff composed, recorded, will you come back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
I would love to, of course, anytime.
Oh, that's bitching. And I'm going to wish you a lot of success, especially if you can get all 9 of them cats up on stage, including yourself, of course.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I hope to see you. Are you coming to New York anytime? I know you're not touring right now. Are you coming to New York anytime later this year?
I'm going to help Mike Baghetta with the MSSV tour in the fall.
Oh, great.
So September, October, November. Be looking all over the country. And, of course, I'll be in your parts.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out. See if you got probably the Mercury Lounge or something. I'll try and check you out.
Playing there. And, whenever you're ready, you please bring, please.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Thanks so much.
Absolute. Brother Reed. People, it's been April 14, 2023, edition WAP Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.